No one likes to talk about death. It's a subject that really calls to mind a lot of questions. Questions that are difficult to ask. Questions like, am I afraid of death? Why am I afraid of death? How do I want to die? It's a difficult subject, especially for those who have lost close family members and friends. But during this season, leading up to Advent, this month of November, beginning with All Souls Day, the church bids us to reflect precisely upon this, upon the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Let me be very clear. We believe in these things. In the midst of a world that gives in and values materialism, we as believers in Jesus Christ, as members of the Catholic Church, we believe in the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Listen to the words of our catechism. We firmly believe, and hence we hope, that just as Christ is truly risen from the dead and lives forever, so after death the righteous will live forever with the risen Christ, and he will raise them up on the last day. Our resurrection, like his own, will be the work of the most holy Trinity. That is our faith, brothers and sisters. And it is truly good news. Jesus today in our gospel from Luke gives us a lot to think about. But most importantly, he says to persevere. And so today I wish to speak about getting our priorities straight. Death and judgment are not scary for those who believe and those who persevere. Jesus begins in the temple. And this is so crucial for us to understand what's happening in this gospel. He's speaking about the temple. He says, there will not be a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down. We have to understand this temple thing, because this is so outside of our realm of understanding in our culture. For the people to hear this, they would have thought, this guy's crazy. What's he talking about? How's he gonna take apart this temple? What's he speaking of? Jesus is really talking about what will happen, not necessarily so far at the end of the world, in the far future, but what's going to happen very soon, in AD 70, when the temple would be destroyed. What is the temple, though? The temple for the Jews was everything. Everything. It's the entire center of their religion. Beginning in the book of Exodus, when Moses was commanded by God to build the Ark of the Covenant and to place the stone tablets of the law in there, along with Aaron's staff and the manna from the wilderness, God commanded Moses to build the tent of meeting. And that was to not only be the house of the Ark, but also the house of God's presence, where he would descend in the cloud and dwell in the tabernacle, just as we have a tabernacle that holds the true presence of God. That God would dwell in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. So it goes all the way back to Exodus. And this is also the place where the priests, Aaron and his sons, and the priests that would descend from him would offer sacrifice to atone for the people's sins. The temple was the very center of the Jewish faith. And so the temple, again, is this, it's what happened after Jerusalem was taken. And it was, they, instead of having a tent of meeting, they built this permanent temple as an image of it. And again, to have the presence of God dwell in the Holy of Holies, the very center of everything. The temple was a microcosm of creation. God as creator dwelt there in the Holy of Holies. But in AD 70, something would happen. And Jesus is already foretelling this. In AD 70, the Romans came into Jerusalem and tore the temple apart, stone from stone. It was a real historic event that is recounted by other historians of the time. It's difficult for us to understand what this would be like, because this is way worse than if St. Peter's Basilica were destroyed. It would be, I think the only way we could understand it is if the Pope and all the bishops and priests were killed or sent into exile, all of our churches were destroyed, and we were unable to worship, unable to have Mass or the sacraments. That's really the only way for us to understand, because this was the end of an era, the end of a way of worship. Remember that all of this, the temple, all of these sacrifices, the Jewish law, all of this was a gift from God in the Old Testament. It was given to the people until Christ should come. But then he did come. When he gave his greatest gift, when the Father gave his greatest gift to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, they rejected him, killed him on a cross. And the result of this sin is the removal of this first gift, the removal of the temple and all these ways of worship. This is judgment. This is what we call judgment. To persevere, then, for the disciples, those who believe in Christ, it meant to imitate their master all the way to death, to bear witness to him, to love him all the way to death. God's judgment on the temple was joyful for them, not because they hated their enemies, but because they rejoiced that sin was wiped away. With the end of the temple came an end to sin, the sin of the people who crucified Christ, and the end and the beginning of something greater, the church. But then the temple, the destruction of the temple, is not just an isolated event. It truly points to something greater, something that will happen in the future, and that is God's judgment of the world. But why judgment? This is a difficult thing to talk about, because how can God be loving and seemingly judgmental at the same time? Is the God of the Old Testament somehow different from the God of the New Testament? No. We don't believe this, and we believe that this is truly one God. There is one God, the God of the old and the God of the new, and that God's wrath somehow goes along with his love. God's wrath is against sin. I mean, if we understand this, it makes sense, because God's wrath is not against us, the people he created, those who he loves, but it's against sin, the forces of evil. God wants to remove sin from our lives, from our hearts, from our world. So for the world, judgment leads to fear, because the world tries to cling to sin and to hold it close. But for the believer, judgment is a source of joy, because precisely because sin is destroyed. And in this way, God's wrath is his love. God's wrath against sin, and also our wrath against sin, is a result of God's love for us. Judgment is not scary for us who believe. But our goal then must be to persevere, to go all the way with our faith, to be righteous. As the world becomes more hostile to God and seemingly autonomous, faith is purified and moves towards the cross. When the world seems most powerful, as on Good Friday, when Jesus died for us, faith can only be proven through death. We see this in our culture, in our lives, that it becomes difficult to bear witness to the faith. In a world that seems to have it all together, that has all the answers through science and everything else. But our goal in the midst of all of this is to be faithful and to bear witness to Christ. Jesus says not to prepare a defense. It is complete dependence on the Father's love that he desires. To persevere, then, is to hate sin and to be dependent on the Father. That is the goal of our lives, and that is where we're heading at the moment of our death. So for us, by our perseverance, we will secure our lives. That is the good news, and that is the Christian idea of death. That's where it makes sense. There's an episode of the great miniseries, Band of Brothers, that kind of portrays this, how we are to respond to this. In this scene, it's shortly after D-Day, and one of the younger soldiers who had landed from jumping out of the plane, he had landed in his mission assignment, and he's meeting up and he's talking with his superior officer. And he confesses to him that when he first landed, he laid in the ditch where he landed instead of going and trying to meet up with his platoon. And he confesses this, and he's upset, and he doesn't want to admit it. But his commanding officer says, "Soldier, why did you lay in that ditch?" He says, "Because I was scared." But his officer said, "No, we're all scared. All of us are scared. You laid in the ditch because you still have hope, and you've failed to realize that you're already dead." He says, "When you finally realize that you're already dead, then, only then, can you be a true soldier. Can you do your duty?" For us, brothers and sisters, those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we are already dead to sin. But we do have hope. Our hope is in the resurrection of Christ, who loves us and who has defeated the forces of darkness. With eyes of faith, we see this, and that is our hope. The Catechism, again, says, "What is essentially new about Christian death is this. Through baptism, the Christian has already died with Christ sacramentally in order to live a new life. And if we die in God's grace, physical death completes this dying with Christ and so completes our incorporation into Him in His redeeming act." Death is not so scary. Judgment is not so scary for those who have faith. But the question for us is, do we have our priorities straight? Do we see things this way, as one who's already dead to this world and alive in Christ? Do we focus on getting ahead, storing up treasure from this earth? Do we focus on our technology, being distracted? Or are we focused on becoming holy, on passing on the faith to our children, to the next generation? These are the things that really matter, because we do not live for this world. In this way, we live as though already dead to the things of this world, but alive in Christ. The key, then, is perseverance. Perseverance all the way. Death is really the climax, the culmination of our life. Because at that moment, we're about to enter into what we've always longed for, what we've always desired. And if we persevere to that moment, loving Christ, living for Him, then we will have hope that we can see Him, that we will finally, with eyes of faith, that faith will pass away and that we'll actually see the object of our desire. So no matter the hardships and sufferings, no matter the struggle with our own sin that we might endure, we are confident. We are confident because there is a God in heaven, and His judgment is sweet for those who love Him.